We are in the time of year when Valentine's Day is celebrated, and it is important that we honor the love that men and women share, especially when we include God in that relationship. Today, on this Words of Life program, Brother David Johnson will speak on the topic, You Have Stolen My Heart, based upon Song of Songs, chapter 4, verses 8 through 15. There are churches of Christ and other believers who love you so much that they pray for this program and they also donate that the Word of God can be shared. We now present praises for our Lord.
Is well.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we praise your name and we thank you for the greatest gift of love, Jesus. Please help our lives to reflect this love. Some of our listeners are troubled with personal concerns while others are burdened with serious health problems. We pray for your blessing upon each of them to meet their needs. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is going to return at your appointed time. Please help us to be ready for this great event. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present You Have Stolen My Heart.
It's wonderful to be together again as we consider the Word of God and apply it to our lives, sharing it with others. The title for the lesson is You Have Stolen My Heart. And the text is from the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon in the Old Testament, chapter 4, verses 8 through 15. Listen to the Word of God. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Descend from the crest of Amana, from the top of Senir, the summit of Hermon, from the lion's dens and the mountain haunts of the leopards. You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like that of Lebanon. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, with henna and nard, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, and every kind of incense tree with myrrh and alloys and all the finest spices. You are a garden fountain, a well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. This is the Word of God, and in this case, a very romantic, poetic passage in the wisdom literature of the Bible. An unromantic husband was asked, "What do you most like about Valentine's Day?" And he answered, "The day after Valentine's Day, when the price of chocolates is half-priced." Practical, but not very romantic. In stark contrast, Solomon's anticipation to be with his bride is obvious in this poetic, rousing, romantic language that he wrote in our text, Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 8 through 15. Consider verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Descend from the crest of Amana, from the top of Senir, the summit of Hermon, from the lion's dens and the mountain haunts of the leopards. Lebanon here refers to the range of mountains along the northern border of Israel, 270 miles long and 45 miles wide, with peaks rising to a height of about 10,000 feet. The tops of the mountains are covered with snow for much of the year, hence its name, Lebanon, which in Hebrew means white. So the bride may have lived near these mountains, if this language is to be taken literally. Amana is the eastern part of the Lebanon range, facing the city of Damascus. Senir and Hermon are either two peaks in the Hermon range, or Senir may be a synonym, another term, for Hermon, Mount Hermon. If this language is to be taken figuratively, as is more likely here, the meaning possibly is that Solomon, the groom, deeply yearns to be with his bride's company. But at that time, evidently, she was not close by, which felt like she was as far away as those beautiful mountains of Lebanon. For newlyweds, for romantic couples, certainly the feeling is mutual today, as it was here described by Solomon, much more poetically, but similar in life. Because life is so much more spectacular when we enjoy it with someone special. To enjoy a fabulous sunset, to look out at the panoramic view from the crest of a mountain, or to listen to the rhythmic sound of ocean waves washing up on the beach is so much more exhilarating with your loved one than just being alone. Usually, it just feels richer, fuller, when we have someone special to share it with. When we feel the absence of that certain loved one during special moments, that's proof of the passion that we share with one another. Come with me is our delight also. Then Solomon writes passionately of his dear bride in verses 9 through 11, detailing her enticing charms and beauty. Verse 9, "You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace." We should understand that "my sister" was a common, ancient, Near Eastern term of endearment by a husband for his wife, which expressed closeness and permanence of relationship like a sister. Here, possibly referring to a wife soon to be. "Stolen my heart" figuratively describes the idea of being robbed of one's willpower or ability to think clearly due to his love for his bride being so powerful that even a glance from her entrancing eyes totally enchanted Solomon. Have you ever been captivated by someone's eyes? It does happen. In marriage, according to Scripture, two become one. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 24, it says in part, "A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." If we choose to marry, therefore, intimacy, physically and spiritually, should grow, not wane, over the years that we are together. To be as one flesh, even one spirit. Verse 10 says, "How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice." Solomon, of course, lived in a land of vineyards, whereby wine was highly valued at a time and place when there were few other choices of drink besides plain water. Somehow today, for us, how much more pleasing is your love than sweet tea just doesn't sound all that romantic. Today, a groom husband might say, "How much more pleasing is your love than a mansion or money?" Or a bride wife might say, "How much more pleasing is your love than diamonds or gold?" As for fragrance of your perfume, women know that sight is the most important sense in attracting suitors. However, women and perfume companies also know that the number two courting dating attraction for suitors is often scent or fragrance. This is borne out by the fact that perfume companies are reaping the benefits of a multi-billion-dollar business in perfumes and fragrances. Beauty attracts, but when a dab of perfume is added, many men are mesmerized. So here's a hint. Most women love exclusive perfumes for Valentine's Day, much more than fishing tackle. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, in verse 11. "Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like that of Lebanon. Here we have obvious figurative language. Your lips drop sweetness, meaning her words or kisses or both were sweet, inviting, and pleasurable. As the land was rich as with milk and honey, so was his bride, a rich source of joy to Solomon. Her perfume passed its fragrance to her garments, and the fragrance was like Lebanon, known for its fragrant cedar trees. Even today, many clothing chests are often made of cedar wood for its fragrance and deterrence of insects like moths. Then Solomon praises his bride's purity. Verse 12, "You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain." Figuratively, poetically, Solomon praises his bride's purity, her virginity, locked up, enclosed, sealed. All have the idea of inaccessibility. His bride has saved herself only for her husband, which is God's deep desire for sexual purity for all men and women. God is very clear regarding sexual purity. For example, in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 4 says, "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." In Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, Solomon extends the figurative metaphor of a garden, comparing his bride's charms and purity with expensive, exotic fruits, flowers, spices, oils, incense, and alloys, all to convey how much he very much valued her. For example, pomegranates is a fruit of this small tree that has a reddish rind with many seeds enclosed in a juicy red pulp with a mildly acid flavor, a delicacy in Bible times. Henna was a flower with white blossoms. Nard was an aromatic oil taken from an herb native to India. Saffron, the dried powdered pistils or seed-bearing organ of a crocus flower used as a cooking spice and a dye stuff. Calamus was a wild grass with a gingery scent. Cinnamon was a spice taken from the aromatic bark of trees from tropical Asia. Incense tree was an aromatic substance as a gum or wood that burns with a pleasant scent. Myrrh, an aromatic gum resin from several trees and shrubs native to Arabia, to Eastern Africa and India. Solomon had access to these type riches and spices on the great trade routes from all of these places. Alloys, probably here a plant native to an island in the Reed Sea, whose partially decayed wood gave off a strong fragrance. Spices, any of various aromatic and pungent or sharp vegetable substances usually used to add flavor or zest. All of these would make a garden valuable for all its pleasurable sights, scents, and tastes. Similarly, Solomon greatly valued his bride for her purity and pleasing attractiveness inwardly and outwardly, a mate or spouse we should all desire. Today, if you told your honey that you are allured to her for her henna, nard, saffron, calamus, cinnamon, incense, myrrh, alloys, and spices, you'd probably not get a very positive reaction. It's best to keep it short. Just simply say, "You look marvelous." Women love to be complimented and to be taken out to eat for more than pomegranates. And lastly, and finally, some of you macho men are thinking about all this romantic stuff ending soon. In verse 15, it says, "You are a garden fountain, a well of flowing water, streaming down from Lebanon." Solomon's bride wife was as desirable and refreshing as a garden fountain. She, as his wife, was to be no longer, as in verse 12, a sealed fountain, but as a husband and wife, a well of flowing water for her husband alone, flowing, not stagnant, streaming down from Lebanon like pure, clean, sparkling water from the mountains. Such was Solomon's wife, the wife of his youth. As married couples today, oftentimes we need to refresh our marital relationships, such as with an encouraging word, to remember to compliment each other, an unexpected gift, plenty of hugs and kisses, significant touches, as it's called. In our marriages, we need a haven of refreshment in one another, because in this old world, often it's not too refreshing. Oh, and the chocolates, roses, or the Olive Garden restaurant are stimulating also. Of course, jewelry can usually be a big splash. And maybe, just maybe, she'll say to you, "You have stolen my heart again." And who says a sermon can't be full of romance? The Song of Songs has 8 chapters worth. Hollywood did not invent romance. Heaven did. God did. Romance is a gift given to us from God. Strive to love deeply, physically and spiritually. If we love God deeply, it will not be very difficult to love others as we should. Let us not forget the words of Jesus. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her," Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 25, which means we are to love sacrificially. Likewise, wives, love your husbands. Let us all love one another.
We are assured that we are loved by God. This is such a great blessing. Are you a Christian? Have you made the great decision to follow Jesus? If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you must truly believe in Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible teaches that people who believe need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. It is important to find a good Bible-believing church to help you. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, please write to us and ask for a CD number 1906. That's 1906. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.